Our text for today comes from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, and can be found on page 3 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed them. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for this day that we set aside each week as a Sabbath day, a day to worship, and a day of rest, a day to come and to set aside some of the distractions and all of the things that are always clamoring for our attention, and to focus ourselves and our minds upon you. Thank you for meeting us in this place, God. And we ask that you would just speak to our hearts, Lord, through your word and the interpretation of that word, that we can come to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is a dramatic moment. This story that you just heard, this is the adventure begins. I mean, this is the moment of the beginning of the movement of people following Jesus. These are the very first people whom Jesus called to follow him, to walk in his ways, to learn from him, to become like him, and in so doing, to become like God. This is the beginning of the adventure of Christian faith. Jesus comes to the Sea of Galilee, and he stops. He sees these guys, these brothers, and he says, "Come and follow me." And it says, immediately they left their nets and they followed him. This is where it all begins. And while that was a singular moment of beginning for the church, I believe that that same pattern is still active today. Jesus continues to show up to ordinary people in the middle of living ordinary lives, and he makes himself known to them, and he says, "I want you to stop what you're doing, and I want you to follow me." And the adventure begins again for a new generation of Christ followers, for a new group of people. Over and over again, Jesus shows up, and he continues to beckon people to leave their nets and to follow. There's a song that came out recently. It's called "The Summons." And the first verse goes like this: "Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me?" Jesus continues to call people on a journey of adventure, a journey of going in the unknown, a journey of spiritual encounter with God. Now, this journey is not a linear journey. It's actually a four-dimensional journey. It's a journey that has interlocking pieces that inform one another. It's a journey that is happening, these four dimensions, for many people all at the same time. And so I want to just very quickly outline the kind of call that Jesus puts into our lives to follow him and these four dimensions of the journey. There is the inward journey, the outward journey, the downward journey, and the upward journey. Sometimes we're focused on one of those journeys more than others, but all four of them are indispensable in our walk with Jesus. All four of these journeys need to be traveled by everyone who is a Christ follower at some time if we are to become the people God created us to be and to do the things that God is asking us to do. So let me just very quickly go through these four different journeys. Let's talk first of all about the inward journey. For many people, this is a somewhat uncomfortable journey. This is the part of the journey where Jesus asks us to take a hard look at ourselves. It's often a part of the journey in which we kind of come to grips with the choices that we've made and how we've gotten to where we are. It's a part of the journey that often requires contemplation or meditation, finding a quiet place to be still and know that I am God, says the scripture. The inward journey is the place where we come to grips with our own brokenness, our own frailty, and our own sin, and we're called to confess those things. You know, every Sunday that we worship, there is a little part of the inward journey that is made accessible to us, or we're invited to partake in. You know the part of the service I'm talking about, right? That time of private and personal confession. It's the one time in the service when the church goes quiet. And we're invited to really reflect deeply, to think about who we are. How did we get here? What did I do this week that honored God? Where were the places where I fell short? Jesus invites us on the inner journey. And if you read the scripture, he's always asking people very hard questions, very probing questions. Where are you in your relationship with God? I would submit that it has never been harder for Christ followers to go on the inward journey than it is right now, simply because we live in a world that does not encourage nor provide opportunity for people to be still and quiet. We are bombarded each and every day by demands for our attention, often in the form of vibrations and beeps and funny little noises. It's always interesting where people have the same phone ring and they're in the same room and they all start scrambling around to see whose phone is ringing. But the point is, we just can't be still. We can't be quiet so that we can reflect and think deeply on the inward journey. But friends, that's often where our journeys with Christ has to start. We have to come to grips and to be honest about who we are. The second phase, second dimension, this is not linear. Again, these are all interlocking. But the second dimension of our journey is the outward journey. Our outward journey with God. This is where we begin to put our faith into action. This is where we begin to actually step out in a very tangible way, and our lives begin to more resemble the way of life that Jesus modeled for us. This is exciting, folks. This is the what we often think of as the adventure of faith. I can always tell when somebody has engaged in the outward part of their journey, because conversations will inevitably start like this. If you had told me some period of time ago, a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, whatever the time is, that I would be, fill in the blank, going to church every week and looking forward to it, teaching Sunday school, being a youth shepherd, mentoring teenagers, going on a mission trip, singing in front of the church. If you had told me a year ago or whatever I would be doing this, I would say you're out of your mind. There's no way. But God has done something in your heart, in your life, that has shifted the trajectory of how you're spending your time and your money and your energy in a way that perhaps is very surprising to you. But you have answered the call to the outward dimension of our journey with Christ. And friends, that is so exciting. I get pumped up when conversations start this way. That tells me God is really stirring and moving in your heart. I know some of you are embarking on that journey as you stepped up this year in some ministry position. Somebody came up and invited you to get involved in something that God is doing here, and you've said yes to that. And I just want to say, you don't know how that's going to turn out right now, but thank you for trusting us and trusting the Lord in that dimension of your journey, whatever it may be. The third dimension or aspect of our journeys with Christ is the most difficult one for most of us. This is the downward journey. The downward journey. This is the path that Jesus modeled for us that's spelled out in the second chapter of Philippians. Paul writes this about Jesus: let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, who though he was God, he didn't regard his relationship with God as something to be held on to or exploited, but he emptied himself. He took on the form of a servant, of a slave. He allowed himself to be born as a human. He lived in human form, and he humbled himself, and he became obedient even to the point of death. Death on a cross. What we have here is Jesus taking the path of downward mobility. And what is so stunning about that, and what is so difficult, why I say this is the hardest dimension, because we are called to emulate Jesus in that way, and yet we live in a world that encourages what? Upward mobility, right? That's what we all want, is upward mobility. We want the promotion. We want the nicer house, the better car, the fancier vacation. We are always looking, and we are being encouraged to follow a path of upward mobility to make our lives more comfortable, easier, more exciting. But the Christian walk, the Christian journey, is just the opposite of that. And yet, if you read a little further in that, because Jesus chose the path of downward mobility, he took the downward journey, it says God did what? He elevated him, he lifted him up above all other things. And that is exactly what happens. It is the most extraordinary thing. When I see people choosing that path of downward mobility, becoming more like a servant, humbling themselves, stepping out and being the first one to say, I'm sorry for what I did. Instead of looking for the world to serve their needs, they begin to serve the other needs. You know what I see happening in people's lives? They don't become a less person. They become a better person, a bigger person, a broader person. Their lives are enriched in extraordinary ways. That's what we mean by the slogan that we talked about. We believe that generosity is a way of life, because the more we give, the more we get, and the more we grow. And so Jesus challenges us, calls us to a very different kind of a journey of humility and service. Where are you on that one? And then the final dimension of our four journey dimensions, the upward journey. God calls us to that inward reflection, that outward action, that downward service. And then he calls us on an upward journey. And by the upward journey, what I simply mean is being bigger than the world around us. It's a journey that is called the path of holiness. And this is an amazingly challenging and beautiful journey to which Jesus challenges us and calls us. The Apostle Paul, in his following of Jesus, wrote about this in Philippians chapter 3. He says, "Beloved, I don't consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, I forget what lies behind, I strain forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." What Paul's talking about is becoming a person of holiness. A person whose character and integrity is so beautifully expressed in how they live their lives that they are simply above it all. They refuse to become petty and small, drawn into arguments and disputes that do nothing but diminish their own character and their own witness. They are people who refuse to participate in the lustful and the promiscuous ways in which sexuality is expressed in our culture, but instead chooses a journey of purity of their bodies. It's people who refuse to compromise in the honesty issue, that every conversation is one in which their integrity is at stake, and so they refuse to do anything that would be dishonest or perceived as being only part of the truth. People who have been called to that upward journey are people who refuse to compromise when it comes to character. That even if it's costing to them personally, they'll still do the thing that's right. These are people who are on an upward journey because they are the people who then stand forth as role models in a world in which everybody else is compromising on the moral spectrum. You and I are called to be better than, bigger than, above the crowd, to stand out because we simply refuse to compromise our character in order to fit in with this world. That upward journey is one in which we're all being challenged to take another step, to be the kind of people whom others look to as an example, beginning in our own homes with our own children and our own grandchildren, and having an influence that extends beyond. Jesus calls us on that journey. And this is this first Sunday. We often sort of put a stake in the ground of a new beginning this week. For some of you, perhaps this is a brand new beginning. There may be people here who have come to worship, and this is sort of a brand new first time. I've never really tried this before. I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know the Bible. We are so happy that God has brought you here today. For some of us, we've been doing this for a very long time. We're a little bit further down the road. But I believe God's going to call us to some new places, even those of us who have perhaps been at this our entire lives, to go a little bit deeper inside of ourselves, to become even more honest, to take some risks, to try some new things, to find those awesome places of service where we can humble ourselves, and then to become those holy people set apart by God for great acts of service. That song ends this way. Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me. May that be our prayer this year. Friends, thank you so much that you're here. God, thank you for blessing us with your presence. Watch over us. Watch over this great congregation, God. Help us to be a witness of something better, of something bigger, of something larger. That people would be drawn to you, God, be drawn into the sphere of your love and your influence. That our lives, God, each day by day would look more and more like Jesus, and people could see you through us. We ask this, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.